Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Jermaine Bell says he found a power in art that he didn't feel in words. After studying graphic design at the Community College of Baltimore County and graduating from the Maryland College Institute of Art, Bell entered the world of advertising. And then a few years ago, he turned his sights onto a different line of work, supporting Baltimore artists, particularly artists of color, and the institutions that showcase their work. Now, Jermaine Bell has been awarded one of this year's 10 Open Society Institute Baltimore Fellowships. Each fellow will receive $60,000 over the next 18 months to fund a local project. The Open Society Institute is a nonprofit that supports efforts to address problems in Baltimore's underserved communities, from violence prevention to food access. Jermaine Bell is here with me. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me, Sheila.
Jermaine Bell, with your OSI Fellowship, you plan to partner with an organization called Exit the Apple. It's in the Barclay neighborhood between Penn Station and Johns Hopkins. Tell us about Exit the Apple.
Exit the Apple is a space that is ran by a wonderful couple by the name of the Menus, Pierre and Jamila. And Exit the Apple is Pierre's nom de plume, if you will. He's an artist. But the space acts as two things. So Oyen Handmade is a natural skincare line that Jamila and Pierre began, I don't know the exact number, years ago.
Tell me the name again.
Oyen, it means honey, and it's carried nationally in Target, Sally Beauty Supply. But, you know, at the core of it, just like what I was going through, he's an artist. So you do your corporate pursuits, but then he wanted to have his artistic outlet. And X the Apple Art Space acts as both his studio and an open space for artists to come in and host events, or not even artists, people of the community to come in and host events. There's also a sound stage with a green screen, so you can come in and, like, shoot a movie. So it's a multi-purpose room.
I'm trying to understand what your OSI Community Fellowship has to do with Exit the Apple.
So last year, I was a Baltimore Core Fellow. Fagan Harris began this program, very similar to OSI, but on a local level. And I was working with Impact Hub Baltimore. I was the programming and marketing director.
And what is Impact Hub Baltimore?
Well, Impact Hub is a national chain of co-working spaces. And the one in Baltimore was specifically set up to address some of the needs and wants in Baltimore City. It's located right on 10 East North Avenue, right around the corner from here. And basically, I was working with artists like Devin Allen. I set up a residency with the New York Times bestseller, Dee Watkins. And I was curating the space with art. I put on over 50 programs in less than a year, so that's like four programs. I know you're looking at me like I'm crazy. Four programs a week. Sometimes it was more than that in a week. I also won a Best of Baltimore for Best Creative Space, and we won Best Colocation Community Center from technically Baltimore. But the work ended after a year. Sadly, I had to move on, and I didn't want to move on from the work, so you know, this is how OSI came to be.
So your work as a OSI Community Fellow will be a continuation of the kind of thing you did at Impact Hub.
Yeah, because
but now you're at Exit the Apple.
Yeah, because I built a lot of great relationships, you know. And when you go into a lot of spaces in Baltimore, people want CVs. They want to know who you know. They want to see, you know, Micah or Yale or one of these great institutions on your CV or your resume. And a lot of times people don't have that, but they're raw talent. You know, it takes a lot of who you know. It takes a lot of work to get into those spaces. At Impact Hub, literally, you could walk into the door and we would just do something. And I want to make it as similar as possible as I can at Exit the Apple.
Do you see this as something that can be sustained? You had a fellowship with Impact Hub and now a fellowship that will power your work for another year and a half. Where does it go after that?
Right now, I'm in the midst of doing all the boring stuff, Sheila. Like the unsexy, the non-Instagram-worthy stuff, like getting pricing structures set up and getting listings on spacefinder.com and all that kind of stuff. Essentially, we're just trying to figure out how to make this sustainable beyond just this year and a half when I'm there. So it could become a job for me. It could become a job for someone else, depending on how it works out, you know?
That's Jermaine Bell, one of the new OSI Community Fellows here on the Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. How do you explain, Jermaine Bell, to someone who's not in the art world? How would you describe what you see as the barriers for artists of color?
Right now, with all of my friends of color, every single conversation leads to, I won't say his name. We're all afraid. I mean, if you watch documentaries like I do, I watched one about Halston, I watched one about Keith Haring, and the death knell for all of those wonderful things was Reagan's presidency. So that's an outside force that you cannot even begin to box with, because that's going to happen regardless. So that's one thing. I mean, like, that's, you know, on a national level.
I need to understand this better, because okay. I think I certainly don't doubt that there are areas in which the federal government sets a tone, and certainly there's probably some flow of money that I may not be that aware of that could change. But I think of the effort and inspiration of artists as very separate from the federal government.
Well, I mean, art will go on, but, you know, people have to eat. People have to have somewhere to live. People have to be able to show this stuff. And if the money isn't there for that, if the arts is taken out of that equation, then that itself already, like, limits potential for art to thrive. Art can't just be done in a vacuum, and it can't be done by itself. People create art. Culture creates art. And a lot of times what happens in cities is that culture is already there, but it's not recognized as culture. It's recognized as, you know, blight or poverty or this other thing. And then the mainstream comes in and says, this is the new culture. This is the new coffee bar. This is the new yoga space. And those things are great. But what happens is people that were there, the indigenous people, if you will, essentially get the good ones get to make it in, and they get to have a part or a seat at the table in this new infrastructure. But that leaves out a ton of other people who are doing amazing things. So I think that's a huge part of everyone's fear as a Black artist, is just not being able to survive everyday things like eating.
Let me pick up on one thread of that. You mentioned the challenge of artists, especially from minority backgrounds, to show their work. There are a lot of easily accessible platforms that allow artists to advertise and even sell their work. I'm thinking of Etsy, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. How much of the problem do they solve, and how do you help artists use those platforms?
I myself use Etsy to sell my own work, and I use Instagram as well under the nom de plume JT Beeswax, JTBEEZ Wax. I use that because, you know, a lot of times what happens is if I put a brown face on something, people will automatically walk away from that. They want something that's a little more in the middle. I have a lot of text-based work, and I have a lot of images with, you know, Black faces on the work. And people are very quick to go to one thing over the other. And I don't know what that's about, but I know that in America, Toni Morrison said, in America, everything else is a hyphenation. I'm misquoting her horribly. But people see America as white, and we all know that that's not the actual reality, but that's the way it works in the art world. You come in and you have to figure out a way to fit into that canon. Like, am I going to be the sad Black artist that comes in and talks about slavery? Am I going to be the artist that, you know, evades a topic in general? And then what makes sense for me? How do I feel in that? So Instagram and Etsy and all those things are great. And my partner actually has a show right next door, Gallery Martise. And the way that we get people in those doors is using Instagram and using Facebook and using all these free platforms. But does it equal sales? Not so much. It equals, you know, foot traffic, and it equals interest, which is great because you want to have that dialogue. But at the end of the day, we can't quit our day jobs because we have to continue to work.
So how do you go about raising the profile or expanding the reach of an organization like Exit the Apple?
They already have a really great reputation in the community. They've been doing several things that we're going to continue having under my fellowship. So they do this one thing called The Exchange, which is a monthly, it was a monthly pop-up. It became a quarterly pop-up just because of, you know, schedules and those kind of things.
A pop-up at another site?
No, at X the Apple. So it's called a pop-up because it's a one-day bazaar. So it's great artisans that are all local, jewelry makers, bakers, you name it, come into the space and sell their wares for a day. They have a table, and I think it's maxed at 11, but we're trying to work on making a little bit more so that we can have more vendors per quarter. They also did a thing called Film Nerds Night Out, where they show films. One in particular that I remember was Mo Better Blues by Spike Lee. And they just had a great, great, great conversation about that film. And that seems small, but in these times, you know, you have to like cling on to what feels good to create community. And doing a screening like that is really powerful in a lot of ways, just because you come together and have a conversation with people that you probably don't even know. So we're figuring out what the new programming is going to be, in addition to doing all the boring stuff that has to be done.
You're an artist. You have now a community fellowship from OSI, and it sounds to me as if you see building community as the way that art gets out there.
I mean, what is art without the people, you know, and without culture? Right now, appropriation is a hot word. We live in like a think piece society where everyone writes a think piece every 5 minutes. But, you know, it's great because people are thinking about like misogyny and patriarchy and racism and all those things. But in our generation, we say woke, right? So being woke all the time makes you very sleepy and tired. So you have to have that community where you can have those discussions with people and be like, you know, today I just want to talk about French fries. I want to eat some French fries. I want to talk about French fries. And that's cool, because sometimes all you can do is survive. And having that community that you can tap into is just great, I think.
I appreciate you sharing some of your community with us. Thank you for this conversation.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Graphic artist Jermaine Bell was recently named an OSI Community Fellow. You can find him on Instagram and Etsy as JT Beeswax, JTBEEZWAX. There are 9 other Open Society Institute Fellows this year. Their projects include a violence prevention and after-school program for young people in Baltimore's Penn North neighborhood and a free school supply store for teachers. You can find profiles of other OSI Fellows at the On the Record page at WIPR.org. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you've been with us this morning. Come back tomorrow.